This is Mitchell Dye with Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
It is 23 minutes to 10 o'clock, and with me in the studio now is Rebecca Casson, the CEO of the Committee for Geelong. Rebecca, it's very good to see you.
Good morning, Mitchell. It's good to see you too. Thank you very much for having us on the show this morning.
My pleasure. And now, it's been a very big month, the last month for the Committee for Geelong. You had the Transforming Geelong Roadshow, which took businesses from Geelong and put them on the road to Melbourne, and you set up a bit of a showcase there.
We did, absolutely, and thank you very much for the coverage that you provided, Mitchell, for that particular event. The Geelong Roadshow did make a positive impact on Melbourne, and we thank our partners, the Victorian State Government, the City of Greater Geelong, Viva Energy, the Geelong Port and the Victorian Regional Channels Authority, for their support to make it possible, along with many other partners and volunteers who helped us on the day. We had the Premier and Sarah Henderson and quite a few other dignitaries to help us to encourage Melbourne to see Geelong through new eyes, and we also had an activation at Federation Square, so really put Geelong on the map.
And based on that event afterwards, what are some of the things that we're looking at to judge whether it was a success or not? What are some of the metrics, I suppose?
It's a good question, Mitchell, and our leaders for Geelong team are working on that at the moment. And so we did get some good media coverage from that. We had a few inquiries from Melbourne-based companies that are interested in Geelong. And obviously on the back of all of those inquiries, we'll be seeking to work with our partners to make sure that we capture all of that information. So the leaders for Geelong will be making their presentation of the project piece at the project's presentation breakfast on the 4th of May. So that will be something to watch out for.
Definitely will be. Now, Menna Rawlings also came to Geelong. That was in the same week as your Transforming Geelong Roadshow, and she spoke at the leadership breakfast.
Yes, and she was delighted to chat with you on an exclusive basis, Mitchell. I think you were the first person to get up
right.
And give her an interview. So well done for that. She did come to Geelong and delivered the keynote speech. She spoke in front of 360 people and shared her views on leadership and the important role it plays in our community. She did have a full day as well, visiting with local organisations such as the Tribal Group and the Cotton On Group. Of course, you might know that the Typo brand from Cotton On is actually going to be launching in the UK very soon. So Menna was keen to have a meeting with them. And she also visited Simmons Stadium, and we're delighted to announce that Menna is now a fully fledged Geelong football Geelong Cats fan, so we're very happy about that.
She was Carlton, wasn't she?
She did at the start of the breakfast announce and divulge her allegiance to Carlton, but subsequently we managed through the day to convert her, and so congratulations to the Geelong Football Club for their advocacy and their conversion. It was 6 points well won, I think.
Some would be a bit sceptical about that, because once you're a certain supporter, you should never change sides.
Well, I suppose this is all about diplomacy, and you're allowed, I think, when you're a diplomat, to have as many teams as you like.
It's just a bit more flexible.
That's right. We're just pleased that she chose Geelong as one of her second teams, so that's very good for us.
Now, part of her visit to Geelong was all about trying to strengthen the relationship between Geelong businesses and the UK. There's already a few success stories there, like, for example, the Tribal Group with some links to the UK. Tell us about that aspect of it.
Yes, well, the Tribal Group of companies took over. It's a global company. They're based in England, and they took over Sky Software, and also they purchased Calista last year as well. So they're actually a very interesting company that are dealing in the IT, the software market, particularly for education. And I'm not very technical, so you'll have to forgive me in the sense that they do some fantastic work in Geelong, and they specifically choose to situate themselves in second tier cities. So they again specifically chose Geelong as part of their Australian process, I suppose. So we're very, very fortunate to have such a great organisation. And Menna, conversing with them in Geelong rather than in England, was something that was quite interesting to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, part of her speech, of course, or all of it, actually focused on leadership and leadership values, and then she opened it to the floor at the end with some questions. What were some of your personal takeaways from her message when it comes to leadership?
Well, certainly from our perspective, we heard her talk about the importance and value of investing in second-tier cities and the leadership that the central government in the UK have provided in those northern powerhouses. So leadership in that broader context is important. Personal leadership that Mena has actually progressed through what could be classed as an elite system and broken through that glass ceiling. So for many, particularly females sitting in that room among the 360 guests, were able to see that it doesn't matter which school you go to, it doesn't matter you know, what your qualifications are, that if you're able to have courage and be optimistic and also work very hard like Mena has, that you're able to achieve great things as she has done.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the big issues at the moment is all about the directly elected mayor model. Tell us about that, because you are regularly consulted as part of a group of stakeholders in this whole process.
That's right, Mitchell, and the Committee for Geelong has been an advocate for a long time for Geelong's directly elected mayoral system, but certainly not the system that our city was given. We believe that there is a case for urgent improvement of Geelong's mayoral model and also the ward system. So you'll be aware that the Victorian Electoral Commission has recently consulted, and the review of the Local Government Act has been undertaken by the state government, not least the Commission of Inquiry that's in at the City of Greater Geelong at the moment. But the committee has advocated to the Victorian State Government to take a courageous leadership role on this issue and fast-track changes to the City of Greater Geelong Act prior to the 2016 local government elections.
I did notice, and it was very interesting, on the VEC website that us and Melbourne are the only two local government areas that directly elect their mayor. The rest, it's all appointed by council.
That's right. So the system is now widely available across Australia. However, the state of Victoria is unique, as only two communities can directly elect their own mayor, as you've identified, Melbourne and Geelong. But our city's progress is often sidetracked by council's internal conflicts, which cannot operate at optimum levels under the current conditions and the existing models. So, you know, we believe that the Melbourne City Council model has enabled Melbourne City Council to prosper under that system. So Geelong's model does need urgent attention. And certainly evidence from around the world shows that a good directly elected mayoral model can lead to great success. But unfortunately, we don't have a good model.
And part of the Melbourne directly elected mayor model is that they run on a joint ticket, the mayor and the deputy mayor. Is that one feature of that model that you'd like to see transferred to Geelong?
That's right. So Melbourne does run a ticket system where a team is able to suggest to the community who should be elected. And the system does work well, but importantly as well, it does draw committee chairs from councillors not elected on the mayoral ticket either. It does enable the mayor's vision to be supported, provides the mayor with trusted advisers, and more importantly for us in Geelong, it reduces much of the political bargaining that we hear so much about in our city.
Some people from a politics perspective say that the role of mayor needs to be more clearly defined, because at the moment the mayor has one seat at the table, and of course the other ward councils get their say, and the ward councils say, well, we want to have our say, and the mayor says, I want to do this. There's a little bit of a conflict there. Do you think that the role of mayor needs to be more clearly defined?
Yes, and obviously Geelong's model is unique. No other successful model simply directly elects a mayor as well as 12 completely separate councillors. So the current system doesn't give the mayor the power to deliver the vision he or she is elected to bring to life. And in reality, the position is little more than first among equals. So that does need some attention.
Now, you've also got an event coming up which is going to involve the American Chamber of Commerce breakfast with Professor David Smith from the University of Sydney.
That's right. So in partnership with the American Chamber of Commerce and also Harwood Andrews, who are partnering with us on that event, the committee invites you, Mitchell, and your colleagues and your listeners for a breakfast to hear from Professor David Smith of the US Studies Centre, the University of Sydney. Professor Smith's going to provide a quite a unique and some might say provocative perspective on what he's calling the Donald Trump phenomenon.
So very political, perhaps.
A fairly political issue, obviously, and also a unique overview of the political landscape of the 2016 US election.
But there are perhaps some lessons that we can learn from the so-called Donald Trump phenomenon and, you know, the reasons why Donald Trump is cutting through. Perhaps some of our Australian politicians and local government even could learn a few things from that.
Well, there is evidence emerging that that many communities are becoming disenfranchised with party politics, and certainly in choosing a celebrity politician such as Donald Trump would be an issue that we would like to explore further in our community, I'm sure. The event is open to the public, and we're inviting your listeners and your colleagues to register for the event at the Committee for Geelong's website, which is www.committeeforgeelong.com.au. And many of our member organisations and other stakeholders do have an interest in the US election, because fundamentally for some of our global members, this actually could be affecting their business decisions going forward.
And of course, often we hear that the Australian economy is heavily linked to how the US economy is performing. What date is that breakfast on?
The breakfast is on the 18th of March.
Right, so that's coming up very soon.
That's right.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in once again and giving us those updates and very interesting issues, particularly the directly elected mayor system. So we'll just have to watch and see where that one all goes.
That's right. Retaining and improving Geelong's directly elected mayoral system is a priority, Mitchell, and our community is fortunate to have access to that important democratic process. So we encourage your listeners to consider that and to advocate for a directly elected mayoral system. Now is not the time to retreat to the days of internal council politics determining the leader of our great city.
Very well said. Thank you very much, Rebecca Casson there, the CEO of the Committee for Geelong.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.